弟兄姐妹平安。
It's a very long passage, and I hope that somehow we have read it in our own in our pews.
经文很长，希望你们都有好好的念。
If not, go back and read it again.
不然的话，回去再念一遍吧。
Let us pray before we begin.
我们同心祷告。
Lord Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this morning's worship, that we come before your presence, seeking your mercy and your grace in our midst, Lord. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Now, in last week's sermon, we explored at some length about how Israel became unfaithful, metaphorically, in three stages of her life.
上个主日我们花了一些篇幅来探讨以色列如何对神不忠，而且是透过一个隐喻形容三个阶段的生命。
Now, from an abandoned child to adorned beauty,
美人,
and finally into an adulterous whore,
最后是行淫的妓女。
Now there are still some unanswered questions from today's passage in Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 35 to 63.
今天的经文还是有一些问题没有得到解答。
Now the language remains crude and vulgar.
它的用词依旧是露骨还有粗俗。
The description of Israel's sentence and punishment went up a notch.
是如何的形容以色列受审判？
What is going to happen to Israel?
以色列会发生什么事情呢？
Why would God allow Israel's neighbor to destroy her?
为什么神要允许以色列的邻国灭她？
Does Israel's unfaithfulness warrant such anger and violence?
难道是因为以色列不忠就应该承受神如此的愤怒吗？
Now Ezekiel 16 is indeed a very difficult passage to understand and more so to preach from.
16章的确是很难明白，更难用来讲道。
I do confess that it has been the most challenging of all my preparation in preaching to date.
而我也承认是至今最富有挑战的预备讲章。
But do be patient.
但是请你耐心一点。
As we work through these questions in today's sermon,
今天早上我们要一同反思这些问题。
Let's begin. In Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 35 to 63, God continues his charges against Israel, Jerusalem.
在今天这段经文，神继续的控诉以色列人还有耶路撒冷。
Now, so God sums up his entire sentence in just one verse, in verse 36.
而他的判词都概括在一节，就是三十六节。
Now, thus says the Lord, because your lust was poured out, and your nakedness uncovered in your whorings with your lovers, and with all your abominational idols, and because of the blood of your children that you gave to them.
三十六节，主耶和华如此说：因为你的污秽倾泻了，你与你所爱的行淫。露出下体，因为你拜一切可憎的偶像，流儿女的血献给他。
Now God sentenced her lover turned adulterous whore Israel on four specific charges.
神判以色列四个罪行。
Your lust or sexual passion was poured out.
第一就是淫欲。
Second, your nakedness uncovered.
第二就是暴露身体。
And third, idolatry.
第三，拜偶像。
And number four, child sacrifices.
第四，献孩子的祭。
Because of Israel's unfaithfulness, God will gather all her lovers against her.
因为以色列的不忠，神要召聚他所有的情妇来围攻他。
And since she has already uncovered her nakedness to them, God will continue to uncover her nakedness to them.
而既然他已向他们露体，这里说神就让他们看尽。
If you persist in sinning against God, God will allow you to persist in sin even further.
你若坚持的背叛神，神就让你继续的深陷。
Some calls it a form of poetic justice.
好像一种报应的哲学。
Now, some of us may be quite uncomfortable with such thoughts about God.
我们当中听了也许觉得很不安。
How could God allow us to persist in sin?
神怎么能够让我们继续堕落呢？
This is not a general statement about God.
但请注意，这不是对神的审判的一个涵盖性的结论。
But should only be used specifically in our passage today.
只能说是在这一处经文很特殊的用途。
Sometimes God sends His angels to stop us from committing certain sins.
有时候神会派他的天使来拦阻我们犯罪。
Sometimes God uses our conscience to remind us.
或者透过良心提醒我们。
But there are times when God will not stop us from sinning, but in fact,gives us over to wickedness.
但也会有些时候神不拦阻，反而把人交给罪恶。
And harden our hearts to repentance as seen in King Saul and also in Ezekiel chapter 16.
甚至是使人的心刚硬，不能够悔改，比如说扫罗王。
It is important for us to recognize that God's rhetorical judgment against Israel in Ezekiel 16 is metaphorical.
重点是你要辨别这些是一种文法，一个修辞的技巧，强调神的审判。
It should not reflect the reality of God's judgment for those who committed adultery.
并不反映神真实情况是如何判决犯奸淫的人。
Let me make it clear that God and the Bible does not condone sexual, any form of sexual violence.
我要清楚地说明，神或者圣经是绝对不纵容性暴力。
Simply put, Ezekiel 16 should not be used to justify capital punishment in adultery cases.
这里以斯帖第十六章并不是证明说犯奸淫的人就该被处死刑。
Chapter 16 stemmed from a deep hurt of betrayal of the marriage covenant between Israel and God.
这十六章是出自神对以色列背叛的一个深深的受伤的情感。
This scholar says, if the text had begun at verse 36,
如果这个只以三十六节开始的话,
one might understandably have accused God of cruelty and undue severity.
只以三十六节开始的话，或许人还会控诉神为残忍或者过分严重。
But the zeal of his anger is a reflex of the intensity of his love.
但其实神的盛怒是他深刻的爱意的一种反应。
God should not be understood as an abusive husband bent on revenge.
不要把神想成是一个暴力的丈夫在报复不忠的妻子。
But rather, a pitiful, forlorn lover who was shamed by his wife's unfaithfulness.
要把他看为是一个可怜的情之被妻子羞辱了。
The violence portrayed in Ezekiel 16 is a reflection of the times in which they lived in.
十六章的暴力反映当时古时代所处的情况。
The images of violence, bloodshed, vengeance, and terror are not concoction of Ezekiel's normative theological reflection.
这些暴力、流血、报复、惊恐的画面，并不是以西结编造或者是属于他的独特神学。
It's not something that he came out on his own.
不是他属于他的神学。
But the realities with which he is living in.
而是他所处的，他看到的真实情况。
These were the realities of punishment for adultery as practiced in the ancient world.
在古时代，犯奸淫确实是如此处决的。
It does not mean that God condones this form of punishment for Israel then and also for us Christian today.
不是说神就纵容以色列承受那样的刑罚，或者对我们今天也如此。
Also, there are no accounts of public stripping and adultery-related stoning recorded in the Bible.
而其实，在圣经里也没有记载犯人应该当众被脱掉衣服或者被石头击打。
Stephen's stoning in Acts chapter 7 was on account of blasphemy.
在新约有一个人被石头击死，就是斯提凡，其实他是因为亵渎神而被人击死。
And nowhere else in the Bible do we see such graphic scenes of sexual violence.
而除了这里以外，再也没有圣经的地方看到如此恐怖的画面。
Perhaps one more time in Ezekiel chapter 23.
或许二十三章也有一点吧。
In fact, punishment for adultery in the Levitical law is stoning for both involved parties.
其实你若按旧约的律法的话，行淫的两方都要被处决。
But in Ezekiel 16, only the adulteress alone was accused.
但是这里以西结十六章唯有女方才被控诉。
Reflecting a male-dominated chauvinistic society.
反映当时男人至高的社会。
Surely, the adulteress could not have been committing adultery alone.
当然，妇女一方总不能独自行淫吧。
Adultery laws in traditional Judaism apply equally to both parties, but in practice, very often only the women were punished.
所以真正按犹太教犯奸淫的律法，两方都应该被惩罚，但是往往只有女人被惩罚。
Aren't we glad we're living in modern times?
你会觉得我们活在今日好像比较好吗？
In many ways, the unfaithful wife in Ezekiel has been compared with the unfaithful wife of Hosea, Prophet Hosea.
以西结这里形容的不忠的妻子和何西亚先知那位不忠的妻子有很多相似。
Now it is very likely that Ezekiel has knowledge of Hosea's marriage to a prostitute wife, Gomer.
很显然，以西结对先知何西亚的情况有所认识。
Now Gomer represents and reflects Israel's adulterous relationship with foreign polytheistic gods about 200 years ago.
何西亚先知是比以西结前200年，他的妻子是巨女，就是歌玛，这个就反映了那个当时的情况，就是以色列向邻国拜多神。
The relationship between Hosea and Gomer parallels the relationship between God and Israel.
何西亚和歌玛的关系就如神和以色列的关系。
No. In Hosea, even though Gomer runs away from Hosea and sleeps with another man, he loves her anyway and forgives her.
虽然这个歌玛他与男人跑人了，又犯奸淫，但是何西亚先知依然爱他，原谅他。
In Hosea, the purpose of public stripping of one's wife's garment represents a divorce ritual rather than public humiliation as those practiced in ancient Asian cultures.
在何西亚书，当丈夫在众人面前脱掉妻子的衣服，是在羞妻的表现，不完全是为了羞辱这个人。
Remember last week we talked about the spreading of one's garment over a wife symbolizes a marital responsibility.
当时呢，当男人把他的衣裳张开披盖一个女人，就表示婚约的承诺。
So, I take this to be my wife. I put my clothes on her.
我以你为我妻子，就把我的衣服披盖你。
Now the opposite of it, the public stripping of a wife's garment symbolizes a divorce.
反过来说呢，就脱掉妻子的衣裳，就比喻隐喻离婚。
A divorce of marital responsibility, a custom as we see in Hosea chapter 2.
这是就不再受婚姻的责任约束。而那是在何西亚书有如此的形容。
Here Hosea talks to his children.
何西亚跟他的孩子说，
Plead with your mother that she put away her whoring and her adultery, or I will strip her naked and expose her as in the day she was born.
他说，你们要与你的母亲大大的争辩，因为她不是我的妻子，我也不是她丈夫，教她除掉脸上的淫相和胸间的淫态，免得我录取她的衣服。
However, in Ezekiel chapter 16, the public stripping of Israel appears more like public humiliation rather than a divorce ritual.
但是在这里呢，以西结十六章脱去以色列的衣裳，更象征是当众的羞辱，胜过是离婚的仪式。
God will judge Israel as one who has committed adultery and gather her lovers, and have them strip her in public.
神视以色列为行淫的妇人，结果就遭拒她的情妇当众，在她面前脱去她衣服。
Now she was stripped in public in front of other women as well, as possibly a discouragement to them, no doubt.
她是当着其他的妇女面前这样做，显然是也要有种警惕的作用。
On the surface, God seems not ready to forgive Israel's unfaithfulness.
表面上神似乎不愿意赦免以色列。
But instead punishes her through public humiliation.
反倒是当众惩罚羞辱她。
And allows her lovers to stone her and even cut her into pieces with their swords.
让她的情妇用石头击打她，将她碎尸万段。
Daniel Bloch, the scholar, believes that Yahweh's actions are indeed not only to shame Jerusalem.
一位学者说，他把神的作为他的目的 不只是羞辱耶路撒冷，
but also to declare her destitute condition when divorced from him.
神的作为是要宣告让以色列说，你离开了神，就是何等的可怜的光景。
Her fate or fortunes have come full circle.
以色列的命运回到从前一样。
She is now on her own.
她已经不在神的关心关爱里面。
No longer under the care of Yahweh.
不再受神的关怀。
Her unfaithfulness will return to haunt her.
她的不忠将要报应在她的身上。
She suffers on account of her own sinfulness.
她受难是出自自己的罪行。
Now, according to the Levitical laws, the judgments of God are just and in keeping with the offense.
如果你是按着律法，旧约律法来看，神的审判是公正的，与所犯的错合乎相关。
The principle of judgment is fully warranted.
而审判的原则也是对的。
The punishment is rightly met out.
刑罚是公正的执行。
Jerusalem had bared her body to all passerbys.
耶路撒冷向路人露体了。
Now God provides her with all the exposure she wants and more.
现在神就让她享有所有的曝光率吧。
If she wants to be a public spectacle,
既然她要成为大众的焦点，
He offers his aid.
神就出手相助。
Naked he has found her, naked he would leave her.
当初神寻见他的时候，他是露体的，如今也要让他侧身离开。
The hell that awaited her was not the creation of some demonic or external powers, but of her own making.
在他面前要面对的所谓的地狱的情况，不是神所制造的什么魔鬼力量的一种外在的能力，是他制造的。
One verse that troubled me was actually verse 42.
其中有一节让我很困扰，就是42节。
After the ordeal of the judgment, God declares, "So will I satisfy my wrath on you, and my jealousy shall depart from you."
42节，经过这个惨痛的经历之后，神说，这样我就仔细向你发的愤怒，我的记恨也要离开你，我要安静，不再恼怒。
I will be calm and no longer be angry.
我要安静，不再恼怒。
Does this verse means that the punishment of Israel, was solely for the satisfaction of God's wrath?
这节是不是在说神惩罚以色列，纯粹为了满足和平息自己的愤怒？
This seems like a weak justification of God's judgment on Israel.
听起来很难明白神对以色列审判是对的。
If this was so, Yahweh would not appear to be very different from the other foreign gods who also demanded the same satisfaction of their wrath.
如果真的是这样，那耶和华神跟周围的神明没有两样，都要求来满足和平息愤怒。
I think that such a view would be too narrow a view of God's judgment.
我个人认为这样的结论对神的审判观点太狭窄了。
Rather, I would agree with the scholar Daniel Block that Yahweh's primary aim is to put a stop to all of Jerusalem's helotrous ways.
我同意学者的说法，说神主要的目的是要制止所有耶路撒冷的不忠的行为。
This was God's drastic measure to put a stop to Israel's continuous sinning.
神这样做是要制止以色列人继续的犯罪下去。
It is not a justification, but rather to reform Israel's waywardness.
不代表理由就正当，但是神的目的就是要改造以色列的错误行为。
In a way, the principle of punishment is not seen as retributive, but rather reformative.
所以可以说，审判的原则不是报应，而是改造。
The punishment is not the end of judgment, but rather a means to restoration.
刑罚并不是审判的终点，而是复兴的途径。
So even though the wise will say to Israel, "You are like a mother, like mother, like daughter."
所以有些智慧人会向以色列说，哎，有其父必有其子。
The sins of Israel is strictly of her own generation.
但是以色列的罪恶是属于她自己那一代的。
Her daughters may follow in the footsteps of her mother.
儿女或许会跟随父母的脚步。
But each generation is responsible for their own sins.
但是每一代都得向神交代自己的罪行。
So in a very awkward family portrait, Israel is portrayed here as worse than her sisters, Samaria and Sodom.
所以神就把以色列看为比她的姐妹，就是撒玛利亚还有索多玛更糟糕。
Both of which were known to be idolatrous and adulterous.
撒玛利亚和索多玛都是以拜假神而还有行淫而闻名的。
Samaria has not committed half your sins.
撒玛利亚并没有犯你一半的罪。
You have committed more abominations than they, and have made your sisters appear righteous by all the abominations that you have committed.
你行可真的是比他更多，使你姐妹因你所行一切可真的是倒显为义。
Such a statement will no doubt cause Israel to jump.
这样的指控对以色列人来说一定会暴跳如雷的。
They always thought that they were much better than their sisters.
他们一路来都想象自己比索多玛、比撒玛利亚人更好。
But God tells them, "You are more slutty than your slutty sisters."
但是神告诉他，你比你想象中最糟糕的坏人还糟糕。
Yeah. Even though Israel has not remembered the covenant with Yahweh,
即使以色列不纪念与神的约。
Yahweh will still keep to his side of the covenant.
神耶和华神仍旧守住自己的信约。
He says, "I will remember my covenant with you in the days of your youth."
所以六十节这样说，然而我要追念你在幼时与你所立的约，也要与你立永恒的约。
And I will establish for you an everlasting covenant.
永恒的约。
This is Ezekiel's message to the unfaithful Israel.
这就是以西结对以色列人的信息。
Even though you have shamed your husband, he will continue to love you.
即使你羞辱了你丈夫，他还是要继续爱你。
God's love for Israel is established in an everlasting covenant.
因为神对以色列的爱是建于永恒的约。
What a relief.
这听了真的是比较放心了。
At the climax of the most disturbing scenes of violence, God throws a lifeline to Israel.
在这个暴力画面最盛的阶段，神伸手援助了。
All is not lost.
还是有希望的。
Israel will be restored.
以色列将要被复兴。
In the most painful ordeal of judgment, there is a glimpse of hope.
在最痛苦受审判的时候，有一道希望。
There is forgiveness.
会有赦免。
God does not give up on Israel.
神并不放弃以色列。
Such is the tough love of God.
这就是神尖锐的爱。
Let me read to you verse 62 to 63.
让我来读62节、63节。
I will establish my covenant with you.
我要坚定与你所立的约。
And you shall know that I am your Lord.
你就知道我是耶和华。
That you may remember and be confounded.
好使你在我赦免你一切所行的时候。
And never open your mouth again.
心里罪孽，自觉报愧。
Because of your shame,
又因你的羞辱就不再开口。
When I atone for you for all that you have done,
当我赦免你一切所行的罪。
Declares the Lord.
这是耶和华所说的。
Now, has the understanding of adultery changed in the New Testament? You may ask.
对犯奸淫的看法在新约里有改变吗？
Do you remember the story in John chapter 8 about a group of Jewish leaders who brought a woman caught in adultery to Jesus?
在新约约翰福音八章，有一组犹太领袖把一个正在行犯淫的妇女抓到来耶稣面前。
Now they ask Jesus, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery."
就对耶稣说，夫子，这妇人正在行淫的时候被拿的。
Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women.
摩西的律法吩咐我们要把这样的妇女用石头打死。
So what do you say?
你说该把她怎么样呢？
Now this was a test in order for them to have some charges to bring against Jesus.
他们说这话是要试探耶稣，要有告他的把柄。
Now instead of answering them immediately, Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground.
耶稣并没有即刻回复他们，乃是弯着腰用手指头在地上画字。
Not getting a reply from Jesus prompted them to ask him again the same question.
他们得不到答案就一再问，一再问。
So what do you say?
夫子，你说什么样呢？
Jesus stood up and said to them,
耶稣就直起腰来对他们说，
Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her.
你们当中谁是没有罪的，就可以拿起石头来打他。
This is the turning point in the story.
这个是整个事件的转捩点。
Jesus bent down and wrote on the ground a second time.
然后耶稣又再次弯下腰在地上写字。
But it was not what was written which turned away the crowd.
重点不在他写了什么，画了什么。
But it was that powerful statement of judgment.
而是他宣告的刑罚，将群众驱走。
They heard these powerful words of self-judgment before judging others, which caused them to turn away.
他们听到这个强有力的宣判，就是说你要先自审，才去审判别人。
Alone with the women, Jesus stood up and said to her,
结果群众离开，就剩下主与妇人，耶稣就说，
Women, where are they?
妇人，那些人在哪里呢？
Has no one condemned you?
没有人定你的罪吗？
She said, No one, Lord.
她说，主啊，没有。
And Jesus said, Neither do I condemn you. Go and from now on, sin no more.
耶稣说，那我也不定你的罪，去吧，从此不要再犯罪了。
Jesus does not condone the sin. Neither does he condemn the sinner.
耶稣不纵容罪行，但是也不定罪，不给定罪人定罪。
That's right. What a joy and what a gospel of grace.
这是何等的喜乐，因为这是恩典的福音。
I copyright that verse. Yeah. Anyway, 11th century Jewish philosopher Moses Maimonides wrote this.
11世纪有一个犹太人的哲学家Moses, 他这样说。
It is better and more satisfactory to acquit 1,000 guilty persons than to put a single innocent one to death.
他说要宣判一千个有错的人为无罪，比将一个无罪的人定罪是更美好、更满足的。
These wise words are most definitely worthy of remembering.
当然，这是智慧的话，也值得我们记住。
It is true to most degree.
很多时候也是对的。
But God works on a totally different level of understanding when it comes to judgment and atonement.
但是神的作为还有审判救赎完全是另外一个层面。
He chose rather to put an innocent man on the cross for the sake of the whole world living in sin.
神宁可选择将一个无罪的男子钉在十字架上，挽回世人有罪的世界。
To God, it is better and more satisfactory for one to die than for all to perish.
对神而言，更好、更满意的是一个人死，胜过全部的人灭亡。
God's redemptive acts continue from the Old Testament to the New Testament and to us today.
而神的救赎作为从旧约延续到新约，直到今日的我们。
When God punishes us, very often He carries the burden of people's wrongdoing instead.
当神惩罚我们，很多时候他也同时担当众人的犯错。
Now Yahweh's undertaking to carry people's sins does not exclude also punishing them.
虽然他担当众人的罪，却不排除他也管教他们。
They are not mutually exclusive.
两者不是不能够共存的。
Israel's ongoing story will presuppose that carrying the people's wrongdoing is not conditional on their first having repented.
所以以色列他的经历就让我明白到神承担人的犯错是无条件的。
If anything, the logic works the other way around.
无条件因为无需他们先悔改，其实更正确的是
I'm carrying your wrongdoing.
我已承担了你们的犯错。
Now, are you prepared to turn back to me?
如今你预备好了吗？回到我身边来。
This is explicit when Yahweh declares.
这里在另外一个经文很清楚的说明了。
I am wiping away your acts of rebellion like thick clouds, your failing like thunder cloud.
就是在以赛亚书四十四章二十二节说，我除抹了你的过犯，像厚云消散。
Now turn to me because I'm delivering you.
你当跪向我，因我救赎了你。
Forgiveness is the basis for repentance, not the other way around.
赦免是悔改的根基，而不是反过来看的。
We can only repent and turn back to God when God has forgiven us.
唯有在神先赦免我们之后，我们才能够悔改。
And He already has in Jesus Christ.
在耶稣基督里，他已经赦免我们了。
I hope that we will now have a better understanding of God's judgment.
我盼望今天早上我们对神的审判更明白。
In Ezekiel chapter 16, the language used is purely metaphorical.
在这一章十六章，它的文法纯粹是隐喻的。
But his judgment is very real.
但是审判却是真实的。
Even though the reality of the world does not practice such acts of violence in cases of adultery.
在今日的社会，确实是有些地方还是执行这样暴力的行为来处理通奸犯。
It is not an accurate reflection of how God punishes people who committed adultery.
但是不反映神是这样惩罚犯奸淫的人。
As demonstrated by Jesus in John chapter 8,
正如耶稣在约翰福音所体现的。
God's judgment is not retributive.
神的审判不是报应式的。
An eye for an eye.
不是以牙还牙。
But rather reformative.
而是为了改造人心。
To put a stop in our sinful ways and repent.
为了制止我们继续犯罪，好叫我们能够悔改。
God's judgment leads us to restoration.
神的审判会带来复兴。
God's judgment is to reconcile us back to God in the everlasting covenant first established with Israel and now with us in the blood of Jesus Christ.
神的审判为了挽回我们，叫我们叫人与神和好。就如当年的以色列人，如今透过耶稣基督也与我们建立一个约。
Let us pray.
让我们同心祷告。
Lord Father, we come before you to ask for your grace and your mercy. Lord, from the story of Ezekiel and from the story in John, Lord Father, we understand that Lord, you love us deeply, and you want us to come back to you, Lord.Indeed, Lord, you have already forgiven us by the blood of Christ. And we ask that, Lord, Father, we will not take this for granted and to turn back, to listen to you and be restored to you, Lord. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we pray. Amen.